Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Joby Wan Kenobi, holding everything down in the world of social media and our stats and analytics. Off a quick spring break that was mostly self-imposed because Ken doesn't actually watch the events. He just gets the notes from Joe and then does the show, so he was unable to do it.
One of us, hold on, see, you can't even remember to turn the buttons on.
Well, because I'm not sure you have something to add yet.
One of us in this room actually watched the Fight Pass UFC Fight Night 362 thing from Australia live.
It was Abu Dhabi, first of all.
Whatever. It was one of those countries. Oh, yeah, there were sheiks in the crowd. Which I would know more about if I could watch on something other than this 3.5-inch screen I have on
my
phone.
Yeah, and we might talk about that when we get to the Fight Pass fights with Roy Nelson and Nog here. But we'll start with, there's a couple giant things going on in the world of mixed martial arts. There was the tough Brazil fight heard around the world that wasn't actually any of the fighters on the show between Chael and Vanderlei. We will talk to that. Travis Brown will stop by to talk about his fight coming up this weekend on Fox. And we start with Tim Kennedy and Michael Bisping on Fox Sports 1 this week as they were the headliner of the Tough Nations finale. And a fight that I thought a dominant performance from Tim Kennedy. He seemed really angry about that dominant performance. And Michael Bisping, which I think all things considered, a really good outing from him.
Really?
He was off for a year, and he came back with a crazy eye.
Yes.
You know, so you got to give him that.
And for those of you who were looking at him and wondering what that is, Ariel Helwani was tweeting out last night that it's part of the surgery from his detached retina, and he will fix it cosmetically so it doesn't look like that once his career is over, because there's really, at this point, no point in fixing it. So
yeah, and you can't see a guy with an eye, you know, pointed in the wrong direction and think that he's back to 100% either.
No, you cannot. But I would say, all of those variables aside, a very good outing on his behalf. He got absolutely dominated in that first round, and I think myself, including a lot of other people on Twitter, were thinking, okay, this is what it's going to be, a Ben Askren-esque
right.
fight. And then that
right.
second round, he goes, nope, I've still got some striking in me, and we kind of saw that back and forth. Ended up coming down to, I had it, three rounds to two?
You had it 3-2? Yeah. I had it 4-1.
We could certainly have that argument. I don't know, and I said this last night, I don't know who the judge is that gave it 50, like gave that second round to...
It's probably Sal D'Amato,
right,
the infamous.
To Tim Kennedy, but...
Was this in America? I'm trying to keep track.
Well, I mean, it was in Canada, so sort of America.
No. America's, it was Quebec, wasn't it?
Yeah, America's
no,
top
not.
Hat, if you
no,
will.
No, they're not.
So, I mean, what do you think's next for Tim Kennedy?
He's moving up the ladder. He didn't... It was kind of a slow fight for me, guys.
Sure.
It was a slow fight for everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
he was brilliant on the ground.
His jiu-jitsu is so awesome to watch.
It is, but once you get there, you've got to do something with it.
I'm kind of glad you mentioned it earlier. He was mad about his performance. Good. Good. I'm glad you're mad about your performance, because you know who was never mad about his performance? GSP.
Ben Askren.
Ben Askren. Maybe him, too. I'm glad that he was mad and upset. I mean, you say he's climbing up the ladder, Joe. I'm not sure about that. You know, you look at the competition. Good. A great outing. I thought Bisping would be his first really good test. I mean, this guy still, 3-4 fights ago, lost to Luke Rockhold. No disrespect to Luke Rockhold. But I think this is a situation where they want to see what he do against Bisping. Bisping, I give him all the credit in the world for coming back and going through the injury and the surgery, and then there was an infection to the surgery. There was like 1,000 things
sure.
that happened to him.
It was the Dominic Cruz of your eye, essentially.
Yeah.
Like everything that could go wrong went wrong.
And it kept going wrong. But can I just please say, unless there's some very major turn of events with this guy and some of the competition he fights, can we shut up about the title shot for him? Can we not have to talk about that anymore?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't think there was a lot going into this, but man, everybody's like, oh, Bisping's a guy, people hate him, so he gets to talk his way in sometimes, and I don't have a whole lot of problem with that usually, but he's not going to touch any of these guys in the top tier at this point, is he, Michael Bisping?
Not, like you said, not unless there's a dramatic turnaround. I think For him, the takeaways are he was able to go five rounds after a really long layoff. He was able to land some of his shots and take some brutal punches from Tim Kennedy and not go down.
And that's what I thought was interesting on that third, though, too. He could have easily been done in that third round.
Sure, but you know, he didn't. And was able to survive anybody who's trained Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Michael Bisping was able to survive four rounds nearly of things that would have suffocated most men who were not that talented at jiu-jitsu.
He's super talented. I may actually have less of a problem with Michael Bisping now than I did even a year ago, because I think what we're going to see now is Michael Bisping headlines on FX, headlines on Fight Pass. That's what I think we've got from him, which I think is a perfect spot for him. So maybe this will be another chance for him to kind of find a new place in the division, because before, he's not in a good spot in that division where he's got to fight against top-tier guys and basically lose every other fight. He loses the fight against the top-tier guys. He gets another fight back from UFC, loses the fight to the top-tier guy. That was getting annoying as all get out there.
And we will have to wait and see what happens with him and kind of, I think, reassess how he feels and what's next for him. I know that Tim Kennedy has said something between Wednesday and Thursday that he wanted Mark Munoz next, which I think is another interesting test, especially from the wrestling front, because I don't think he will be nearly as successful as he was against Michael Bisping in wrestling. I don't know what you think, Joe, but I don't know that Munoz is going to be that easy to take down.
I don't think so either. He also called out Gegard Mousasi. That would be an interesting fight.
Another great fight I'd like to see.
The interesting thing about Munoz, though, I think you might be surprised in those kind of fights, because when a guy knows he's not necessarily great at something, he works a lot harder at it. Michael Bisping clearly worked very hard at stopping takedowns. Now, he wasn't very successful, but like you said earlier, Joe, Tim was on top of it all night. I mean, Michael Bisping was getting taken down and would get out of that takedown four or five times a couple times in the fight. Mm-hmm. That was some amazing work by Kennedy in that fight. I think a guy like Munoz, you might be surprised. He goes, oh, my wrestling's good, so I'll be fine. I think a guy like Munoz, he gets taken down. He might stay down there a lot longer because he didn't work 100 different ways to get out of there. Of course he's better than Michael Bisping at wrestling, but I think that's an interesting takeaway, and I'd love to see that fight. I think even more than Gegard Mousasi, because I'd love to see that kind of matchup. But I think you might be surprised with a guy like Mark Munoz, thinking he's got this covered. So he goes into camp, does some other things, and if you see that guy that fought last night, that Tim Kennedy, whoa, I don't know if there's a lot of guys who can out-wrestle him.
No, and especially when you combine that with his level of not only Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but, you know, as they say when he walks out, he's a black belt in the special forces hand-to-hand combat. So, I mean, he's got a different level of grappling than most guys that you might wrestle at that weight class. The coaches for Tough Nations, Patrick Cote and Kyle Noak. Kyle Noak receiving kind of a verbal backlash from Dana White last night, saying that you had plenty of chances to finish Patrick Cote and you just sort of let him have that fight. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it was an okay fight. Nice to see both of those guys back in the octagon, but nothing really to walk away from. And then when you put it up against this fight with Kennedy and Bisping, you've got kind of a tough lead into the Ultimate Fighter, Patton and Edgar.
I agree. I did like Noak's game plan. So coming out of the Greg Jackson camp, his game plan obviously throughout the fight was to throw those kicks and keep the distance out. And that was
But is it a good game plan when you don't get in and you don't finish a fight that you could have probably finished a couple times, you end up losing?
Well, you've got to execute the game plan, right? And, you know, Bisping adjusted really quickly. He recognized, okay, these kicks are coming. So
wait, what are you talking? You mean Patrick Cote?
Patrick Cote, right? And so he did that tie walk in. He started sweeping the legs and then closing the distance. So I thought tactically it made for somewhat entertaining.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, in that regard. But like Dana said, there's many times that Noak had this in the bag and it just didn't come to fruition.
It's always hard to say that, you know, oh, you should have been able to take out this guy. They are so tough. I mean, these guys have got iron jaws. So you can't say, oh, he should have been able to finish him.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been able to finish him, but I mean, I find it a lot more interesting than a game plan and watching KJ Nunes make his opponent fight the ref.
That was funny.
Might have been the most interesting part of the night. I don't want to skip ahead.
But. Well, no, and you know, and they, I think it's funny to me that they're able to 8 times out of 10 get that fight right. And by, I mean, get that fight right. Put something in that slot, in that prelim slot, to get you to carry over that you go, wow, that was, I mean, and like you said.
Well, and they were smart enough, too, at least for us on the East Coast, too. I told you, it's overwhelming. I turned the fights on at 4, and I didn't watch them for a couple of hours.
Right.
I hadn't seen that fight until it was replayed during the main event. So I love the fact that they're doing that. And, you know, KJ Nunes, if you miss the fight, basically lands that shot, what, 20 seconds in?
30 seconds in. I mean, you know.
No, the fight was over at 30.
Yeah, so 20, 22, whatever.
Yeah, he lands that shot, lays out Sam Stout. He hits Sam Stout 2 or 3 times square.
Yeah.
I mean, square. It doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, squared him up good on the ground while the ref was. By the way, Quebec? Can we get some treadmills for the referee room or something?
Yeah.
That guy was a little out of shape.
Universal Healthcare not working out so great up there.
I'm not sure what's going on. It took him a while to get over. He got over there, and if you missed the fight, Sam Stout kept fighting. And we've all seen guys who grab a leg or kind of swing at a ref and not realize that's a...
Right.
No, he kept going. Like, he tried to put him into guard. He was trying to take him down. The ref kind of pushed him back, and then Sam Stout just, what, did a flip and fell over against the cage?
Crazy.
See, that's interesting.
Well, and I to some extent, save for the Dustin Poirier fight to kick off the main bouts, I think the Sarah Kaufman fight was awesome. Ryan Jimmo was awesome. Interesting to see George Roop beat Dustin Kimura. I think the prelims had some really, really, all things considered, guys, some really interesting matchups that have some ramifications across a whole bunch of weight classes. I mean, George Roop is a guy, let's remember, that when WAC and the UFC were merging together, George Roop was the guy that knocked out the Korean Zombie, you know, and then just kind of went his separate ways. So to see him get a win like that puts his name back into some conversations. I'm not saying contention by any means, but a win on a Fox Sports 1 card is a big deal, especially on a week where it feels like you're binge-watching a season of Game of Thrones with the amount of MMA that we have to consume.
Yeah, is it too much? I mean,
I feel it a little bit because you watch... Fight start at 4 o'clock on the East Coast. You've got to watch it till 10:20 when it's finally over.
Right.
Then you have to watch. You don't have to, but I mean, when you do a show like this, you have to. You have to then watch The Ultimate Fighter, which, as a nice transition, it's BJ Penn, it's Frankie Edgar, the two guys that are clearly going to get along for a whole season, which I'm fine with because you get to see a lot more. You want the drama, but they've clearly got that with Sonnen and Vanderlei and that whole thing going on over on Fight Pass, which we'll talk about in a second. And in this case, I know, Joe, you've said something in the past that you kind of enjoy these seasons in a different way because as a student of the game, you get to see some of that because they're not yelling at each other the whole time. You can actually see some actual training and maybe glean something off of those training sessions because it's two people having civil discourse and letting it happen in the ring. What I thought was fascinating on Wednesday night, though, was the sheer amount of tomato cans that were in that lightweight division. Yeah. Like, there were so many one-sided affairs that I'm watching this.
They're going quick.
Well, they're going quick, and I'm thinking to myself, and which is why I'm bummed Sean isn't here, is like, has this oversaturation? Has the UFC gotten to the point where, you know, it's becoming a household name? It was trending Thursday morning on Facebook, which all good signs for the brand.
Sure.
But you now have gyms popping up all over the place where people are training the UFC as opposed to MMA or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or whatever. And then they're able to go into states where they can kind of mess around a little bit with their records and who they fight and how they fight them.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of see the fruits of this labor. I mean, one of the fights in particular on Wednesday night that stood out for me, and I was telling Ken about it, was the two gentlemen. It was an African-American and a white guy full of tattoos, which sounds like everybody on the show. But
this is the
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
You know, so but this fight starts with the guy with the tattoos is absolutely shellacking his opponent. Shellacking him. Knocks him on his ass. The guy rolls over into a turtle position, and the guy who's winning throws his hands up. Fight's over, except the ref doesn't stop it. So he has to go down to where this guy is, and that guy proceeds to armbar him and win the fight.
Yeah.
And so I look at this and go, what are we doing? You know, have we done too many of these shows that there aren't enough high-quality people on that precipice to put into a show? You know, and hopefully as they've fought to get in the house, the people that are in the house will make for more interesting affairs. But the fight into the house for me was like... You know, George St. Pierre fighting children is what most of those fights look
like. Well, remember, these guys aren't even Bellator level guys. These guys aren't even World Series of Fighting guys. They're not Bama level guys. They're not any of these level
guys. But none of them should be. And that's, so what I'm amazed by is that the sheer disparity, because that's not the, I mean, of the 16 fights you saw, that wasn't the only one that was that one-sided.
No, but none of them are going to be, and it's going to be about the show, Eric. That's what it's going to be about. I told you this before. I mean, last night I'm watching the fights that happened on Wednesday, and I'm not even paying attention to these guys that were on the Ultimate, what was it, Nations, what was it? I don't even remember.
Yeah, Nations.
Canada and Australia.
Yeah, I blew right by him because I don't trust that I'm going to need to even bother to know these guys for a while. I mean, who did we have a couple seasons ago? Was going to run through the division, couldn't even win his finale.
Uriah Hall.
Yeah, Uriah Hall, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, he was the next coming. I don't trust that any of these guys are legit fighters in the UFC, but if it's an interesting show, I'll watch, but that's what I'm watching for. I've got Fight Pass. I'm still giving UFC $10 a month. I'm not sure why, but I have it. You know how much of The Ultimate Fighter Brazil I've watched? I watched Chael Sonnen and Vanderlei Silva fight. That's what I watched.
On our Facebook page.
I don't know if we had it. I could have watched it on my Fight Pass if I wanted to, but that's the thing, too. It's up on 100 Facebook pages. That's the interesting part of that show, and if you're expecting, I just think you're expecting way too much from these fighters.
No, what I'm expecting is, okay, you have set, not you, but the UFC has set the expectation, right? We have a fight between the two coaches when the show starts. You've told me what this show is going to be about. These two guys hate each other. That's what I'm watching for. This show, on the other hand, starts with them shaking hands and a really interesting story of Frankie Edgar telling BJ Penn that in season 4 of The Ultimate Fighter, he tried out and couldn't make it in there. So you have this interesting back and forth between these two guys. They sit down. They're having excellent conversations about these guys in the ring. Dana and the two guys have an interesting conversation about one dude who gets completely knocked out cold and about how perhaps you shouldn't bring your mother to these sorts of things. And so I now know that the show is about fighting. And if the show is about fighting and you've got one-sided tomato can affairs, you're not really giving me what I expect to see,
and
which
are
fights.
This was after 8 hours of MMA. MMA, but shortly after that fight where the guy got armbarred, I fell asleep. It had just been too long. And also, Frankie Edgar already beat BJ Penn twice.
Yep.
Shh, we're not talking about that
yet.
We're not
there yet.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Come on, like, though.
No, UFC wants us to forget.
I look at the run sheet. Yeah, so, I mean, how interesting is this? It's not a rubber match. He already beat him twice. How's he even getting a third shot?
Well, I think two things, you know, to go back a couple minutes. I think one is to watch these two guys coach. They're hoping you'll be interested in that. But the other part is these fights have to be good because the fights into the house were not.
Yeah,
you know,
so I'm
if I wanted to watch video game fighting, I would just play a video game and pick the better guy to knock out the other guy and just do that all night long, if that's what I wanted to see.
Yeah, and I'm completely agreeing with you. What I'm saying is they're running out of ideas. If they can't even get the two coaches to have a good fight at the end of the season, they're both legends. We all love them. But this isn't – he's already lost to him twice.
So you're not interested at all?
I mean, I am, but you could have found something better, just like you could have found better fighters to audition to the show.
I don't know if that's what they need, because Eric tells me about the show that I didn't watch, and this guy gets armbarred after he thinks he won a fight. I want to go see that fight. That's what I want to watch. You walk in and tell me that when we start the show. I'm like, I want to see what happened there. You walk in and go, man, these guys, they were back and forth, defensive submissions. This guy was up and down, and man, they went the full two rounds. It was a draw. It went to the third. I'm like, Where's the guy that got punched in the head fell down but then armbarred the other dude? Let me see that.
I don't know how far a full season can go of the William Hung theory. You know, if you want to see the guy who sings horribly that gets kept on American Idol a couple episodes too long, that's awesome for a couple episodes. But after a while, on the singing competition, you want to see some singing. And I want to know now at this point, is it just going to be a Uriah Hall season where it's one dude that just waylays through everybody, and then, you know, he doesn't come
can't
to
do anything,
doesn't come to fruition, or what's that going to be like? And we'll obviously have to see. When we come back, though, we will talk a little bit more of The Ultimate Fighter. Chael Sonnen and Vanderlei Silva, they had that fight. You may have seen it on Fight Pass. More than likely you saw it on Facebook. Either way, though, we'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior. No matter.
Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Joe Wan Kenobi covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Sean Desai is off on some sort of walkabout. I'm not actually sure where he is. Right before we do the show, as you guys get the same message as I do, we just get not coming. Coming. See you later.
Is he stuck in Abu Dhabi?
I don't know where he is, but he's not here. And I don't
he always has passport problems.
And I don't know when he's coming back. So when he does, we will welcome him with open arms.
He's the most consistently searched random traveler ever.
All the flowers will die unless you come back, Sean.
That's very true. Travis Brown will join us here in the next segment to talk about his big fight on Fox this weekend. If you haven't had enough UFC in the last 7 days, there's more to satiate your appetite for mixed martial arts. Because
can I watch it on TV, or do I have to watch it on my phone too?
I mean, what's interesting about that is, like, we've had almost 10 to 12 whole days of nothing, and then you get five things in a row. One of them at noon on a workday, which we'll talk about in a second. But I want to talk real quickly about the fight heard around the world between Wanderlei Silva and Chael Sonnen on the set of The Ultimate Fighter Brazil. After watching it a couple times, I mean, you
are we gonna preview the fight from like 13 seconds of an Ultimate Fighter?
No.
Because I'm down for that.
No. I mean, we could certainly do that. I wasn't planning on doing that.
Chael's gonna whoop him.
I mean, there were the tweets to say that Wanderlei should be embarrassed. He was taken down with a man wearing flip flops. So I mean, there is that.
Yeah.
but I don't know. I don't think it was necessarily faked. I mean, there's stories that Wanderlei hurt his back and hurt his hand, and that's why the fight's been pushed off three other times. But you have to ask the question then, is that worth it? Is this one, you know, will the season A live up to this one moment? And is that one moment enough to push this off to July at this point?
I think the fight, people want to see it. I think there's enough emotion there. I think what you've got is a very interesting dynamic here where Chael Sonnen is playing the very cool, laid back, hey, I'll come to your country, I don't care, whatever you want. And Wanderlei's taking it very personally. And Wanderlei always has. He's always been that dude. And Chael's looking at him like, hey, we're prize fighters, man. Why are you so mad? And then Wanderlei gets angrier. It's like when you're really angry at somebody about something, and they just start talking softer. Like, what's wrong, man? What did I do? You can just see the rage with Wanderlei. I are you kidding? I want to see that fight. I don't care when it happens.
Well, and then there's that, because all this month, Chael Sonnen's been tweeting some very interesting things, like contest announcement. Be the first to name the fake injury Wanderlei will use to weasel out of our fight. And then a couple days later, he tweets this. Kanderlei asked Dana to postpone our fight until July 32nd. And what's interesting is if you go right now to UFC.com and look up UFC 175, when they're supposed to fight, the matchups that are posted are Weidman and Machida, Rousey and Davis, and Uriah Hall and Thiago Santos. No Silva Sonnen at all.
Are we pushing it because they want to use that to stack up another card? Because, I mean, that's a card we're all going to buy anyways at this point.
Well, but this is where it's been announced at this point. So if it's been delayed again, they haven't told anybody.
Okay.
So either it's been delayed again, or he's, you know, Wanderlei still having repercussions from the back injury from deciding to fight a guy on a concrete floor.
I didn't realize that's where he's saying the back injury happened.
Yeah, from
he
being
supposedly hurt his hand too, punching him without a glove.
I didn't see him land. Did he land?
I don't know.
Did I miss something?
He landed. Yeah,
I didn't see him land anything.
I don't know, but we'll wait and see what happened. I mean, maybe perhaps this year is a leap year and we will get a July 32nd. I don't know.
And then Chael went on Twitter
okay.
and called out Rich Franklin, oddly enough.
Yes, which
I don't know where that came from.
A friend of mine called me when that happened and said, "Hey, what do you think's going on?" And I said, "Well, there's this thing going on with Wanderlei and pushing this thing back and pushing and pushing and pushing, and I wonder if Chael is just in shape, on his way to peaking, and doesn't want to waste it if it gets pushed to September or August and thinks."
Yeah. Chael's always working a couple fights at a time. Let's remember this whole Wanderlei thing started back. I want to say he was still fighting Anderson Silva.
He was lined up.
I want to say he was calling out. He's trying to set pieces there the whole time.
The Franklin thing came out of certainly kind of nowhere, where he's like, do I call you Rich? Do I call you Mr. Franklin? Do I call you Professor? Do I call you Ace? And can I get a blueberry smoothie? I mean, it was, you know,
I
don't know.
Well, I think Chael likes to have a couple of he approaches each fight in a unique way. And why I think he's doing it this way is he's going to go with that mutual respect type of thing. He thinks they can both probably make money, which I do agree.
Certainly.
If you remember when he fought Brian Stann, it was completely out of character up to that point for Chael Sonnen. Yeah, he went in with respect. He said, you know, you're a great guy. You're a hero. He goes, you're a good fighter. I can't wait for this fight. And he went in there and he beat him up and he took the win. And he shook his hand afterwards. Not that he doesn't shake these other guys' hand. I think he's got an approach there. I think you would see one very similar if he were to take the Rich Franklin fight.
Does he think it's a gimme fight? Does he think he can win that
fight? I think he thinks it's a good fight for him. And as much as I'm a Rich Franklin fan, I don't necessarily disagree. Yeah. He's been much more active recently. He's a guy that's been in there with John Jones, Anderson Silva. You know, he's coming off the loss to Rashad Evans, still top-tier talent.
Joe, Rich hasn't fought since that Kung Lee fight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
November 10 of 2012 was the last time he fought at middleweight. Interesting, though. So maybe this is Chael Sonnen's way of breaking into the middleweight division.
I mean, I think I just look at Chael Sonnen, and if you're not one of those top two or three guys in the division, you're still not beating him. And I don't know if Rich is still there. Rich is one of those guys. I would love to fight just because of this. Like, I'm going to be honest. I don't think Vanderlei's got a chance against Chael Sonnen. I really don't. I think this is a fight that Vanderlei's got the puncher's chance, and that is in this fight. I don't want to go back to the 30 seconds of YouTube video and breaking down the next fight, but come on.
Foreshadow the fight, right?
Did it look like Vanderlei was doing anything? I mean, he tried to hit him, and, you know, I mean, Chael wasn't even ready for a fight. His hands came from uncrossed and blocked Vanderlei's hands from slapping him.
Right.
Because he wanted to box him in the head like a little... Like a little play tap, I guess they call it in Brazil.
Sure.
Didn't even touch him. You know, got swung. I think it was a lefty through. It wasn't even close to hitting Chael with that. Chael got up and under him, threw him on the ground. That's essentially how that went.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prediction for that fight before I even saw that video. So I think Chael's just working another fight. Maybe, like you said, Eric, he wants it in case this other fight doesn't happen. Maybe he's just setting up another fight. A guy like Rich Franklin, he's going to take his time to get back in. So if he does come back, this might be a good fight for both those dudes. I certainly am very interested because they're right next to each other in that level where I think they can pretty much beat everybody that's not named maybe John Jones or Anderson Silva or maybe Vitor or Rashad.
Do you think they do those back-to-back, though? I mean, if you're Chael, do you do those back-to-back? Because these are essentially two...
I think Chael's...
They're two vanity fights, though. They don't. I mean, beating Vanderlei does nothing for you, and beating Rich Franklin does nothing for you.
I think beating Rich does something. I think Rich is still... one of those old school guys that's got a little bit of a legend status behind him. I could see a Hall of Fame type of thing where they look at him, even though, I mean, remember, for all those years, the only guy that could beat Rich Franklin happened to be Anderson Silva.
Right.
That's a tough break to have in your career is when you're coming up at that time. Mm-hmm. So I think this still does something for Chael. More importantly, Chael doesn't, I think, have a line to the title anymore. And I think he knows that. So he's going to make these fights that are going to make him money, make the UFC money, and keep him active. I think a guy like Chael, if he's not coaching the Ultimate Fighter, he probably wants a fight every 6 months minimum. And he's going to go try to find and pick and choose. And he's been great at picking those guys out where, oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that fight. That would be awesome to see. You're going to fight Vanderlei? What? Oh, he hates you. You're talking trash? Now he hates you. Man, I want to see that. Oh, Rich Frank, man, I'd love to see Rich Franklin. Wow, against you? Yeah, I want to see that. Again, I'm going to go back to it. Have you ever seen a fight with this guy in the past, I don't know, 5-10 years now? It feels like forever he's been around, but clearly the last 5 years, guy goes into a fight, you want to see what he's going to do.
Certainly. I mean, we called him last year Employee of the Year just because he's the guy that, you know, will run in to save the company if they need him, but he's certainly a guy that gets eyeballs to whatever platform you want him on. And so you want to get people to give you $10, put him on Fight Pass.
That's what we've got right now, and I think he knows that.
Put him on Fight Pass. I mean, you've got him on Fight Pass for The Ultimate Fighter, but I mean, you want to get people to pay for that? Put him and Rich Franklin on there. As opposed to, you know, Nog and Roy Nelson, which while, you know, I think that was a big fight for Roy Nelson, an important fight. He injured his hand, so we'll have to wait till that gets healed. But he retired. I don't want to ever see. I'm with Dana White, who said that on Thursday morning or whatever. I don't want to see Nog fight ever again. That was awful.
Awful. Oh, for sure. I think it was. It's a situation where that's another fight. We didn't come in last week and we were on spring break, but I mean, that was another fight. I'm looking, I'm like, does anybody really think Big Knox got a shot here?
But I guess I didn't think he was going to be unconscious for the entire fight.
I did.
I mean,
I don't know why he got tagged
and he just wasn't there for the whole fight.
I mean, his jiu-jitsu is good, obviously, but I mean, Roy Nelson's one of those dudes who's won at Abu Dhabi. I'm not talking about this event. I'm talking about the grappling championships.
Two times over, he's won it up.
Right. I mean,
once in the UFC and once in the
so Big Nog's not going to be able to get him there.
Sure.
We know Big Nog is not going to be able to probably knock him out. He might have been able to land here and there, but we know Roy Nelson's got the chin, and we know he's got the power. I mean, he proved it in this fight. If that's not Big Nog, that fight got stopped 5 minutes ago. Maybe Roy Nelson's hand isn't broken either.
Yeah, well, and there's that, but I think a huge win for him as he moves up that division. Two other big fights I want to mention from that Abu Dhabi card. The Clay Guida Kawajiri fight I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's another one much like Wednesday night where while Bisping didn't win and didn't look all that impressive, I think is a big victory for him to be able to come back and put a performance, any performance together against Tim Kennedy. You know, Kawajiri looked, I think, while he was obviously beaten at every corner by sure. Clay's pace and Clay's wrestling and all of that stuff, Kawajiri did what Kawajiri does and I think made a lot of fans who may not have been understanding what sort of a fighter he is and why he's fun to fight. You know, he a couple nods back for you, Ken, to Sakuraba, where he's trying that Kimura and giving Clay his back. Obviously, it didn't turn out very well for him, but some old school techniques that he likes to use. I think that was a very, very fun fight. I saw a couple people online calling it boring, and I don't know what
I
you
don't
saw.
Know where they got
I don't
that
know where
either.
You get that
I've
from.
I've never seen a boring Clay Guida fight.
No, and I mean, this was a fight that, again, spotlights a lot of what we like about mixed martial arts. There was all of that stuff happening. That, you know, there was some.
Staying active the whole
yeah,
time.
The whole
going
time.
For the finish, yeah.
I think it's an interesting fight that I've got to go try to watch since I was working when that one was on.
Yeah, they're
they've got to do something about the time zones.
Yeah.
Do you prefer that they just hold it? Then?
Well, I don't know.
Because I felt like I was missing it at the time, and then once I'd missed it, I was able to see the Roy Nelson fight live, obviously. Mm-hmm. But once I'd missed it, I didn't feel any sense of urgency. And again, I can get it right here on my phone. Oh, I can't watch it on TV, though. But I didn't feel any sense of urgency, even after you told me that was a great fight. And I know it won fight of the night, right?
Yes.
I still haven't had any sense
yes.
of urgency myself, and I know I'm the exception in the room, but I still haven't gone back to see the fight yet.
It's like watching a movie and you already know the ending.
It's like
well,
worse
yeah,
than
I mean,
that, though, because it's a sporting event. That's the hook. At least a movie. You'll watch Fight Club again and again and again,
right,
and spoiler, know that you know Brad Pitt's character is not real. And you can watch it and watch the creativity.
Wait,
and,
what?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
A kid in The Sixth Sense. I'll tell you about him later.
Okay, all right.
But in a sporting event, that's what you want to see. You know, there's obviously drama to get there, and things can go back and forth. And there's a few events. Let's talk about Sakuraba Hoist Gracie. That's like one of the only exceptions to the rule when you look at these MMA fights as far as not caring who wins at the end to see how they get there.
Sure.
And that really only happened yeah. because it's a no-time limit fight, and it was in Pride, and there was this drama behind it. I don't see you being able to create that a whole lot in a UFC fight with 3 5-minute rounds.
So what is your I don't disagree with you. 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the Eastern time zone on a Friday, mm-hmm. really bad.
Yes.
However, when you're having it in Abu Dhabi, that's Friday night, right?
Maybe you hold it the
it
next day.
Saturday.
I mean, Friday. Well, maybe Friday they're trying to get people on their laptops and their phones. I don't know.
What but Dana White would say is it's that fight, this card, wasn't meant for you in West Michigan. That fight was meant for that market. That's why he's primetime over there. So if you don't watch it, Dana White has brashly said, you know, essentially he doesn't care.
Yeah, but he does care. He wants my $9.99 a month, and this is one of the Fight Pass cards.
He wants that for other Fight Pass cards, but not for this one. This is meant for that market. He's developing that international
market.
Cannot, that's why it's prime time.
You can
there.
Tell me what he's saying. You can't tell me, though, and I think Eric would agree with me, you can't tell me that, though, when you ask for my money and say, well, this part's not for you. That's not how it ever is going to work. And that's
there's gonna be different levels of what it's for,
and that's
right?
fine. But you have to you're delivering a fighter I want to see, but you're doing
yeah.
it at noon on a Friday.
Yeah,
I would well, yes, I sure you're delivering it to that market, but I would argue that the majority of MMA journalism comes out of the United States. So
sure.
whether or not it's for me in West Michigan and my tiny show that you and myself and Ken and Sean do, which is no, of no relevance to the UFC whatsoever, okay, we can have that debate. But for guys like Ben Folks, who works for USA Today, or guys like Ariel Helwani, who works for the UFC and for mm-hmm. other organizations, if you put it at a time that they can't actually watch it, you're essentially on purpose hurting the brand for the sake of that market. And from a global standpoint, if you want to have that argument, I think you need to not have marquee fights then.
How can you have that argument, though, in Abu Dhabi? They did a pay-per-view in Abu Dhabi. The time will work in Abu Dhabi. Now, if you want to have an argument with me, Joe, hey, you know what? Fight Pass is on a desktop. They know that their penetration is not very good with the apps. I mean, let's be honest. It's terrible. It's terrible. You can't get on your PS3. You can't get on your Xbox.
Xbox, no.
Those are the two biggest platforms to get apps like this into the consumers in the demo that UFC is looking for. Those 18 to 34, 25 to 54 men. Those are the two biggest ways. Having a half dozen Samsung TVs and a Roku box is not good for an app. It especially looks terrible when you have a guy like Vince McMahon who runs his WWE network. You can watch it anywhere you want, anytime. So maybe you can have that argument with me. Well, you know what? At least if you put it during a work day, then guys at work can watch it if they're trying to, screw off on their work time. I would take that argument. But for you to tell me that's not meant for me, Roy Nelson is not meant for Abu Dhabi. They'll come out. They'll watch UFC fights. Roy Nelson is the draw that they're making people pay money for. And again, I don't know what else they do about it, but I do know that they've been able to hold pay-per-views there.
Sure.
They could hold this card on the weekend. It's just all my point was it's kind of tough. And it's kind of interesting that I was only able to see the main event, and I don't really feel a sense of urgency to get the rest, even though they're literally sitting in my phone right now.
Yeah, and I'm just telling you, why Dana White says they do this. And I understand it from a business perspective. They're trying to develop that market.
Sure. You know what Dana's saying. He's going to say whatever he has to say when somebody asks him a question. Of course I'm going to say that. I mean, I think any of us in this room could spin things however we needed to when somebody asked me. Because Dana White's not going to come out and say, oh, you know what? I'm sorry I couldn't get it on your TV. So we're just going to run this at work and hope people watch it. Because he's not going to say that. Like in 5 years when UFC Network's one of the biggest things in the world and he's got it everywhere, he goes, yeah, I didn't think we were going to make it. We were doing cards so people could watch it at work.
Yeah, and obviously that whole idea can sort of work when you look at March Madness. There's a fair amount of human beings that are watching games at work or just straight up leaving to go watch them.
Sure.
So you kind of have to make that decision. And if that's the decision that the UFC is making, if we're going to surmise
clearly,
that that's
they've
it,
done it over and over again. They're trying to develop an international
They're trying to
market.
Develop it because they're not putting a pseudo marquee name, Roy Nelson, Big Noggin.
They've got to put somebody on there.
They have to put somebody on it, but they're not putting Anderson Silva on it because that would, Anderson Silva would make people download the app to their desktop and figure out a way to watch it.
Which they've done in Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
That was the Damian Maia fight. So they were able to put pay-per-view level guys on there. So that's why I'm not buying the international market. They're building. They're certainly doing that. I don't know if that's why they did this, Eric.
And we'll have to see. I mean, you saw with the WWE platform, they had a very successful outing for WrestleMania. Everything worked pseudo-flawlessly. I mean, there were some complaints, but for the most part, worked flawlessly.
It didn't seem like anything was on their end, which was pretty amazing.
And it'll just be interesting to see what ramifications the WWE app has on the UFC app, because I think there are some, obviously, business similarities in the model, and there is some demographic similarities, Joe, that if one is working much better than the other, perhaps somebody's going to give their $10 to Vince as opposed to Dana.
Competition is good for business, too. They can see, okay, WWE Network is doing this. We should integrate that.
Well, I mean, one of the things I think they should integrate is, we were talking before we went on, is let's say on Wednesday night I didn't watch the card.
Right.
Why is that card not on Fight Pass if I gave you $10?
Exactly.
Why?
I was at work and couldn't see it.
There's not even a summary either, which I find interesting. If you want to, we could probably debate the counterpoints all day, and WWE is going to win at this point. They've created programming like wrap-up shows and things like that. I would rather see a wrap-up show done in a level, where I can see parts of a fight or get a couple guys talking about a fight than 50 backstage. I mean, Fight Pass, click on recent videos. Go do it right now. You're going to see, it's going to look like a YouTube page. That's what Fight Pass looks like.
Yeah.
It's 50 backstage
interviews.
It's not
intuitive at all either. So even to try and find that is frustrating.
Let's say we get there. Let's pretend we can get all the way in and figure it out. Click on recent, and it's just 30 backstage videos of a guy with a camera in front of another guy, and I'm sure they're thanking their sponsors. And boy, this was a tough fight, and he's another great fight. It's just, there's no professionalism in that type of execution. There's content, but I'm paying you. Can you clean it up a little bit? Can you give me a wrap? Oh, I missed that. Can I get the highlights that ran on freaking Fox Sports Live after that show? No, I don't see them there. Maybe I'm missing them.
They have them at MMAFighting.com.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll put them on our Facebook page.
And that's another thing that they have to think about. And clearly WWE has thought about it. Like, you're not going to need to steal our stuff because we're going to give it to you for $10. And it's all there. It's all there. You don't have to go anywhere else if you want our product.
And they've done a masterful job. And then we'll talk real quickly about Fox this weekend. They've done a masterful job, even with their YouTube channel, to get you to pay for the mm-hmm. product. In that they give a ton of stuff away for free to whet your appetite, so that you're like, oh well, I want to figure out how that video came to fruition. Why did, why are The Undertaker and Sting going to wrestle at WrestleMania 31? And then you figure that out using their version of Fight Pass, the WWE Network. All right, this weekend, we go back to Fox for UFC on Fox, a huge heavyweight bout as Travis Brown takes on Fabricio Werdum. We will talk to Travis Brown in a minute, but very quickly, also on that card, Miesha Tate and Liz Carmouche should be a great women's bout. Huge striking battle between Donald Cerrone and Edson Barboza should be awesome. And then Rafael Dos Anjos taking out Khabib Nurmagomedov in the prelims. Do not miss that one. Nurmagomedov is a guy you do not want to sleep on. He's going to be headlining a pay-per-view here very, very soon. I'm telling you this. So be on the lookout for that. But very quickly, to get back to Werdum and Travis Brown, an interesting fight, a huge fight for Travis Brown, and one that I don't see him.
I think it's huge for both of them, though. This has to be a number one contender.
It is huge for both of them. I don't know that I see Travis losing this fight, though.
So Werdum has come out this week and say that he used to smoke him in training. I guess they've trained together a few times, and he manhandled Travis Brown in the gym.
Man, I've heard that one before.
Is he a barista?
Did a barista tell us that story?
Touche. So who wins on the ground, though? Travis Brown or Werdum?
I think. Well, here's where the battle comes in, dude. I think you've got to get him there. To get him there, you've got to get past, like, Will Torrey, one of our fans on Facebook and on Twitter, tweeted at me on Wednesday night. Hey, who wins? Travis Brown by illegal blows to the spine? Yeah, I think he does, because you have to get him down before you can execute your jiu-jitsu game. And those elbows, nobody
survives.
He's done
it twice now.
Nobody survives those.
Well, this is a guy that's coming off three fight of the night wins, KOs. You know, that you want to talk about a guy's ground game and how great it is, you have to give the same respect to the stand-up. And you're coming to a guy who's had three KO fight of the nights. A guy who looked like he was pretty much dead against Alistair Overeem and was able to come back in that fight and knock Alistair out.
Mm-hmm.
MMA math, he's got the win over Overeem, but you can do the same thing with Antonio Silva on the other side. So that kind of cancels each other out. Nobody's sleeping on Travis Brown anymore. I'll say that much.
And no.
That's clear because he's headlining this card. Let's remember, this is a spot that's reserved for, in the heavyweight division, guys that are or are going to fight for the title. And that's clearly what this essentially is. I don't think Dana straight up said it just because
I don't think he straight up said it because we don't have a champ, really.
Right. And that's the only
thing. Kane's still on the shelf. You're looking at me, Joe, all weird. He's still on the shelf. He says he's coming back at the end of the year, but we know how that works. And if he doesn't, they might need to use the dreaded I word and come up with an interim title. So, this might be that. And the timing of this would be perfect. If he beats Werdum or Werdum beats Brown, okay, you have one of the guys. And then you have one more this summer.
That's the plan right now.
And, you fight in the fall, and we have an interim champ until Kane is ready to go, and then we go.
What am I missing in the summer?
Well, nothing yet, you would just put two other guys, whoever. Is it Roy Nelson? Maybe you put Roy Nelson in that slot.
Which would be awesome. If this all pans out, then they'll do the UFC in Mexico this fall or winter, which would be epic.
Which would absolutely be epic. All right, and speaking of epic, your boy Travis Brown is stopping by next. We will talk to him, see his thoughts on the fight, and wrap up everything this weekend before we have 13 events between now and Monday afternoon. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. Big card this weekend, Fox UFC Saturday. Fabricio Werdum, Travis Brown, an essential title eliminator for that heavyweight division. We've got one of the participants with us right now, Travis Brown, on that three-fight win streak. Three KOs of the night, by the way, too. Travis, how you doing today?
Good. How you doing, sir?
We're doing well. I think last time I got to talk to you on the show, it was August of last year, right before that Alistair Overeem fight. You've been very busy since then.
Yeah. I've been trying to stay a little busy.
It's interesting, too, because you're coming off a couple of knockouts of the night. What, the last three fights you've had have been KO of the night, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You've got a big fight this weekend, UFC on Fox, Verdum versus Brown. You're headlining the Fox card against Fabricio Verdum. Most think this is essentially a title eliminator match. Whoever wins this is going to get to take on the champ and get to take on Cain Velasquez. How do you approach this fight? You're headlining. You're probably going to get that championship fight, the reason you've been fighting. If you win this fight, do you do it exactly the same? Is there more pressure? Do you change anything? How's it going for you right now?
I don't only expect to fight for the title, but I have a bigger picture in mind. So, fight for the title is part of the journey. I expect myself to fight for the title. That's what we've been looking forward to. So, I'm not done. Once I get there, I want to win the title and defend it multiple times. But this is what all our hard work does. It gets us to this point.
What kind of fight do you expect with Fabricio Verdum? You know, you do the MMA math, which we do on the show a lot, which never actually works out. You know, you've got the win over Alistair, and he's got the loss against Alistair. But then again, he's got the win over Antonio Silva. I know you probably want to get that loss back one day. What kind of fight do you expect?
It'll be a tough fight. I mean, I've trained with the guy in the past, and he's a really really strong competitor. And he really brings it when he shows up, and I look forward to the challenge.
You're obviously coming off that big win. We talked about knockout of the night. Your most recent fight was against Josh Barnett, a legend in MMA, a guy who's been doing this for a long time, a guy who's at the very top level. I mean, you've really just kind of been ramping up. Every time you get a win, it's a bigger and bigger win each time. How did it feel after your last fight? You got that win over Josh Barnett. I think it took you a whole minute to get that win. How does that feel when you kind of look at the record? Because you have a lot of guys, they have great records, they do well, but you look at this and you're starting to get a who's who in your last couple of fights of guys in this heavyweight division. After you beat Josh Barnett, did you think, okay, I think now I'm ready for this title shot, now I want to go real hard in this division, be in a number one contender spot?
Yeah, it wasn't only after Barnett, after Overeem and even Gonzaga, I really started to look at the rest of the landscape of the division and really start to see my place is going out there and fighting for that title. And part of it is definitely, visualizing, where you're going and seeing, possible potential matchups. I've been looking at that for a little bit, and I've been seeing that for about a year now.
Yeah, it's definitely a case too. I mean, we've seen Cain Velasquez Jr. Dos Santos do it a couple times now. I think the division is just clamoring to see who that next guy could be. And obviously, you've got those credentials right now. And I can't see this going any other way. Whoever wins this fight on Saturday night, I think it's a given. One of you guys has to get the shot, right?
Oh yeah, I believe so. I mean, there's no way that isn't going to happen. And it's just. Yeah, we both earned it. He's won three in a row. I've won three in a row. If I keep fighting, people outside that's not the champion, I'm not going to have anybody left once I get there.
So how do you feel you're doing UFC on Fox? I believe that this is the first time you've headlined UFC on Fox, is it right?
I've headlined UFC on FX.
Right, yeah, you've done that before. You're going to the big broadcast network now. That's got to be really cool because I will say, obviously on the show here, we're super hardcore MMA fans. But I'll tell you what, when the big boys come out on Fox and I've got the friends over, that's when everybody watches. That's when everybody's got their eyes glued to the set. I'm not taking anything away from anybody else, but it's kind of weird. It's two things. When the ladies fight and when the big guys fight, that's when the eyes end up on the television.
Oh yeah, I mean everybody likes to watch the heavyweights go at it. One punch can change everything, and it's one of those things where the women just bring a serious scrap to the table, and the heavyweights is just the giants doing what everybody else does, so it's a little more scary when you get in there, or even when you watch them. You never know what can happen with the heavyweights.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be watching Fox UFC Saturday. It's going to be a 5-round heavyweight bout, Verdum versus Brown, although do you want it to go 5?
No, I don't get paid by the minute, you know, so I like to get in there, get my job done, and get home.
Yeah, you get paid the same no matter how long you're in there. You might take home some bonuses again if those performances are any indication of the past couple fights. This is a great one. I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks so much, Travis, for spending some time with us today.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, you have a great one.
All right, we'll see you.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.